We are, you're in the days that Jesus told us about. And I was thinking this morning how we pledge allegiance to the Lamb that blesses him so much. For these days are getting rough. The times are getting hard. And the Lord is so much dependent upon us to carry on. To carry on. To shed. To show His mercy. It's all about Him and not us. All about Him. And the day that's coming, don't be dismayed, don't be scared. Draw closer to one another. Okay? What Christ has called us to do, we can do it. We do it as a body. Amen? We do it with each other. Not one of us has been called to carry the gospel by themselves. We've been called as a church, as a body of Christ. And there's a world out there that needs Jesus so bad. They need to know the love of God. They need to feel the forgiveness of the Lord. There's a world out there that got to hear the truth. The truth. The only truth there is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? The world is hearing a lot out there right now, but it's not the truth. It's a watered down version of what Christ said. And God is so blessed that you've chosen to follow Jesus, that you have given your life to the Lord, that you say, hey, these are your hands, your feet, this is your mouth, your ears, your eyes. Just lead me. And He's given you His Spirit to lead you in these days. You know, Matthew 24, if you would like to turn there for a second, or for a moment, or 5 minutes, or 10 minutes. Get my Bible. Thank you. Yeah, I need my paper there too. Thank you so much. If you had 1 week left on this earth, this is actually a question here, a second, please. If you knew that this Friday I would be doing your funeral, what would you do this week? What would you do? What would you say? Faye? You had your hand up.
I'd do my best to get people
saved, especially by our faith. Okay. Anybody else have a thought? You know that this Friday, that I'll be preaching your funeral. Between now and Friday, what would you do? Asking God for your forgiveness. Okay. Okay. Don't fear. Amen, Marianne. Okay, not to be scared. All right. Jody? Okay. Okay. Anybody else? I mean, that'd be pretty heavy knowing that you've only got 5 days to go. You can be upon this earth. I know you're in Matthew right now, but jump over to, keep your finger there. I want you to go to James 4 for a second. That's in the New Testament to the right. James 4, and I'll have you look at verse 13. James 4, verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go and do such and such a city, and spend a year there, engage in business, make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while, and then vanishes away." The Word of God says that no one here is guaranteed tomorrow. Okay? Amen? Not guaranteed tomorrow. And in the whole scheme of everything, our life is like a vapor. You know, look how you ever walk out and look at a little drop of water on a rose petal? It hits the sunshine, and boom, it's gone. The whole day might be 24 hours long. That little petal, that little vapor, is only there for maybe a minute or two. But it says, the Word of God tells us that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So I ask you, as I asked you the question earlier, if this was your last week upon earth, and you all these thoughts went through your head, you want to do this, some of you might want to go climb a mountain, maybe go see Disney World, see loved ones, witness, share the gospel. Well, if you're not guaranteed tomorrow, what's stopping you today from doing what you just said you wanted to do? Amen? I mean, that's, you know, what you say, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, we're not guaranteed I'll raise up out of bed tomorrow. So whatever I think, if this is my last day on earth, I should do what is on my heart. Loved ones. You know, we'd all want to be around loved ones, I believe. We'd all want to share the gospel. A lot of things we'd want to do. But when it comes to serving the Lord, we want to do it today as if there is no tomorrow. Because for us, there might not be any tomorrow. But for the ones that's heavy on your heart you want to talk to, there might be no tomorrow for them. We just don't know when that day comes. Jesus is coming back very, very soon. And so whatever was on your heart that you thought you would do this week before I had your funeral on Friday, just try to do it every day. Just, you know, get up in the morning, praise the Lord, and reach out to those that God laid upon your heart to share the gospel. And be encouraged that He is coming back very soon. I mean, the signs are there that any time now He can come and get His church out of here. Anybody waiting for the rapture? Yeah. Anybody want to go home? Yeah, so do I. So do I. I want to take as many as I can, but I want to get myself up there. Follow me. You know? And that's one thing we can do. We can deliver the gospel. We can share the Word of God, share His love. But people have their own free will. And some people will choose not to accept forgiveness of their sins. People will choose not to believe in God. You know, people will believe, I don't know. That just goes back to us as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, to always share the gospel of Jesus. Always share the love of God. No matter where you're at, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us, okay? Because you never know when that might be your last opportunity to do that. Might be your last, you know, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But Jesus, He had the same, like I just spoken it, He knew that His time was short. And I always believe that if someone who's know their time is coming to an end, normally what they say from their heart is really important. You put a lot of credence in it, you know. And Jesus, He spoke to His church, His disciples. He's speaking to us today. And in chapter 24 of Matthew, I just want to read a few verses here. You're familiar with it, but I just want to bring it to your attention this morning to encourage you. Because Jesus came out from the temple, was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple building to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things?" Looking around. "Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age?" So Jesus is talking to his disciples, his followers. Tell us the signs of your coming. And Jesus said to the body of Christ in 2013, he says, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains." So he's telling the church this morning, listen, these things don't happen. Don't let it take you off guard. Don't let it scare you, okay? These are happening because they're going to happen. So don't think I've left you. Don't think that you missed the boat. Don't think that you're not following the true living God. He's already told us this. 2,000 years earlier, these things don't take place. But he said, "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name." Now, that's encouraging words, isn't it? They're going to hate us and they're going to kill us because of Jesus. "But at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another." Again, these are the words of Jesus to the body. Okay, he's talking to his disciples, the followers. That many of us in these times will end up turning away from the truth. And we will end up falling away and betray one another and hate one another. Wow. I mean, so what we have to do as a body of Christ, knowing that these things don't take place, is make sure it's not us. Amen? We have to make sure of that. Okay? Know that the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the truth and only the truth. When you realize that and you stay in the gospels, you find yourself walking the right path, okay? If you would ever come to church on Sunday and I would ever pass out a new booklet to you, the book of Starkey, okay, saying this is a new revelation of God, he's changed things. Now we're going to do things differently. I'm telling you what, don't pay any attention to me. Amen? Okay, because his word will never change. Not one decimal, not one little dot will ever change in the word of God. People will try to deceive you and people will be deceived. People will be deceived. Those who are not following the Lord, those who are not not walking with Him daily, will end up being deceived. There's a thing out there called political correctness. And they try to... Too many people are looking for peace today, and they're not looking for freedom. And folks, these are totally different things. You can have peace with no freedom. Freedom, there is a cost. Freedom, there is a cost. And it's so sad today, everybody's talked about they want peace in the world. No, I want freedom. I want freedom to live my life the way I want to. I want freedom to worship my God. That's what I want. But it comes with a cost. And we've had many, many, many military personnel to lay their life down to protect our freedoms. But we'll hate one another. Man, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. He's talking to us. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So he shows us a few things that will take place before the end comes. And the lawlessness being increased, and then people's heart growing cold. And yeah, you know, I testify all the time that I have to pray, Lord, to keep my heart soft. I have times when I think, man, I just about had it up to here with people coming in and lying and deceiving and misleading the church. But then Jesus says, hey, they did the same thing to me. Hey, have they drug you out and nailed you on a cross yet? Not yet. So shut up. He talks to me that way, okay? And seriously, I don't know. We are here. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, Okay? And whatever that comes against us because of the gospel, they're coming against the Lord. And as they came against Him, they will also come against us. But Jesus wants us to do the same that He did. Don't waver. Stand there firm, out of love. Share the gospel. If we get manhandled, share the gospel. Remember, He bought us. We have this reservation in heaven. Amen? He's coming to get us one of these days. But we look at this past week, and we mentioned some of it at the beginning of the service. The Boston bombing, terrorist. I mean, running a marathon. And boom, people are killed. People are maimed. At the same time, we've got, I believe in Colorado, they have that blizzard going on. Earthquake earlier in Iran and out in China. We got tornadoes in the western part of the states. We got floods in the central states. I mean, all this. This is just this week. Okay? Just this week is going on. And Jesus said these things don't take place. And He said lawlessness. Wow. And what really gets me on the lawlessness part of it is that for several weeks now, there has been a trial going on the abortion doctor. They call it the House of Horror. And the testimony, most of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. Why? Because it's not out in the media. It's not out in the mainstream. The main media has been gagged on this. It's talking about some of the horrific details that happens at this clinic and what happens to some of the children who were born, was aborted after birth. And we are being closed out because that goes in complete opposite of what our president and our nation stands for. We stand for abortion today. You know, we stand for that. And so if this comes out to the public, there'd be such an outcry. I would pray that it'd be such an outcry that our government be afraid of what might happen. And so they're keeping it quiet. Man. Wow. I find it hard to sit down at night eating dinner when we know these things are going on. But here's another new one out. It's in the military part of it, that evangelical Christians, Catholics, Hamas and Al-Qaeda, we're all put in the same group now as extreme religious. Wow. That's how they got it. We're extreme religious now. And so they got it earmarked. I believe it was the Navy. I had this information on my Kindle. That's my electronic Bible I told you guys about. Well, it died back here. The battery died on it. So I'm losing my references. I can give them to you next week. But I think it was the Navy just removed the God off the patch on their uniform. And one of them just removed the Bibles out of the hospitals. One of the military things. That's how far, and Jesus said that. He said these things will take place, okay? So don't think that God lost us, that he abandoned this. Jesus told us ahead of time that these things are going to take place. That when they do, just be encouraged that His word is true. And that He is coming back. And just be encouraged to keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, because those who are in sin today, who are practicing sin, you know, they're probably in an area where one of us was at one time. We've all come from someplace. Amen? And when we didn't get out of where we was at until the light shone on us. And so what Jesus wants us to do is take the same light that came upon us and shine it to other people. And let them find their way out of the darkness too with Jesus Christ. But in verse 21, and continue Matthew 24, it says, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, the vultures will gather." He's saying, listen, when he comes, everybody's going to know he's here. Amen? I mean, it won't be a news flash on the bottom of the screen saying Jesus arrived in Las Vegas. Okay? No, it won't be that way. Okay? He's telling you in advance because people, there's going to be all type of deception going on. Okay? When he comes back, the whole world's going to know he's here. Okay? Satan knows his time is very, very short. And that's why the things are the way they are today. That's why it's so ugly today, because one, there are less people who are true followers of Jesus, and there's more people who aren't. Okay? And so it's just a battle is going on. A battle is going on. And Satan knows his time is short, so he's pulling out every stop that he has. His demons are influencing everyone that they can, trying to deceive people. We talked about the spirit of depression coming over people, the spirit of suicide, of lying. There's a lying spirit out there. All kind of stuff. Everything that he's got, he is firing at people. But as long as we stay in the Word, as long as we stay together, as long as we pray and seek the Lord, man, we'll be strong. He'll bring us through this, okay? And we won't fall into deception. But we have to watch out. It's when we fall away from the gathering of the saints, when we fall away and we get ourselves isolated. And Satan will try to do that. You know that? You ever have him try to do that? You don't need to go today. Stay home. Okay? I mean, I'm a preacher, and I can think of different reasons to stay home on a Sunday. You know what I'm saying? And in the same way, he'll try to give you every reason not to come into fellowship, not to be encouraged. You know, just stay home, we'll be okay this week. Go next week. And then they'll say, well, come the next week. And then the next week. And just trying to get you separated from the body of Christ. Because if for 1 week you can go without hearing my voice up here, but it's not really my voice, bringing the Word of God to you, okay? I mean, I'm nobody special. But if you can go a week without this coming to you, then another week, then what I said today, when I said that, well, let's go back here. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. As that is in your head, but you don't refresh yourself with it, Satan get in there and say, well, did he really say east or west? Or did he say north or south? Okay? Now, don't you really have a relationship with the Lord? Well, he'll let you know personally when he comes. And he'll take, he'll water it down. And someday you'll get this feeling, you walk up to some guy that looks just like Jesus in the movies, okay? In the 60s, Jesus with long hair and blue eyes, okay? And I don't know too many Jewish people have blue eyes. But anyway, however you think Jesus looks like will happen someday. You'll be walking down the street and you'll see a guy look just like the picture you saw of Jesus. And inside you say, oh, that's got to be him. I know him because, well, don't they say, just like John the Baptist, when Elizabeth walked up to Mary, how the Spirit jumped? Well, I know this must be Jesus. Would it be Jesus? Why wouldn't it be Jesus, Cindy Hara?
Because it's just not. I mean,
you know it won't be. Yep, because you know that when he comes back, everybody's going to see him at the same time. Amen? Yeah. And he's not going to change, is it? If you come in next week and the Booker Starkey says that Jesus is going to appear in Las Vegas, Nevada at the craps table, you know that I'm you, right? Because the Word of God is in you. Amen, guys. Amen. Matthew 24, you know, as you read that, and sometimes, I know I read Matthew 24 a lot because when I look at the TV, I got to remind myself, okay, these things don't take place. He's coming back. He is coming back. And this reminds me, he's already told us in advance. You know, he had a week to go. He's going to leave. I said, listen, guys, this is going to take place, but these are signs of my return. Don't fall away. Don't fall away. He says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give us light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elite from the four winds, from the end of the sky to the other. Now Jesus says, he said, learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Or when you walk outside and you see the cherry blossoms, okay? Or you see the apple tree budding, okay? You know that summer's coming, amen? Amen. When you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, that I think one of the, for this day and age, verse 34, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things take place. Now that is a very key scripture to you, because if you get around a lot of religious people,
And they were arguing. You say, listen, Jesus is coming back. I mean, the signs are there. And what will they say to you? They said that for 2,000 years. In fact, the disciples were looking for him to come back the next week after he left. But they missed the key here. He didn't say that this generation. If I was Jesus for a moment and I'm talking to the Lord, and I give you all the signs of my return, and I say, well, this generation will not pass away. You could take that saying, well, this generation, meaning that at that day, when Jesus spoke that, that generation will not pass away. But what he said was, when these signs take place, okay, when these signs take place, boom, 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 that generation will not pass away. And I truly believe these signs are happening so quick. And we just read, I just read a half a dozen just off the top of my head that took place this past week. The signs are so great, so tremendous, and they don't stop. And he says that this generation will not pass away from the coming of the Son of God. That's how close we are to his return. Amen? Amen. I mean, to be that generation, I mean, going back to our comment, if this was your last week on earth, what would you do? He could be back today. The rapture of the church is taking away the church. It could come any time now. This is his return they're talking about. And verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. And so will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Routine, I mean, people, okay, they were scheduled to get married on Friday, probably had wedding was on Saturday, dress rehearsal was Friday night, okay. The bride and the groom getting things put together, picking out the flowers, you know, and where they're going to do honeymoon at, getting tickets for Disney World. All that stuff was going on. But what was going on during this time, they had an old man they called Crazy Noah. And he was telling people that God said he is coming back. And there's going to be a flood. And to get right with God, repent from your sins. And they called him Crazy Noah. Because why? Because he said the sky's going to open up and there's going to be a flood. And it had never rained before. It always watered up from the ground. He's building an ark in the middle of a desert. But he was sharing God's love. Get prepared. I'm coming. And they did pay no attention to him. And they had all these plans going to do this and that and the other. And what happened? Man, the floods came. And it was too late. And Jesus will be the same here. You know, people will be planning. His people, us, will be telling people he's coming back. The signs are here. The signs are here. I don't know if before the floods came, was there been any clouds in the sky? There could have been clouds, maybe. But maybe the clouds just started within that 120-year period. Maybe God just started sending clouds. Or we give a little bit of strength to maybe Noah's testimony. I'm not sure. I haven't studied that cloud part out. But people weren't paying any attention. You know, maybe they saw a big black cloud. Maybe this crazy man knew what he's talking about. Then what happens? That cloud would dissipate, and here comes beautiful sunshine again, and people forget about seeing that cloud. And I think the same way in this nation here today, that we see tribulation time and time again, and we go back to the scripture. We saw 9/11, and it shook us from the top of the presidency clear down to the bottom, and everyone got riled up, and they started looking at the Word of God, and we were standing outside of the courthouse, and we were standing outside of the White House, and we were praising God, repenting from our sins, and very quickly, within 3 months, it left, and we went right back to where we came from. But again, God in his mercy, these signs are out there. Does God cause these things? No. Does man allow them to happen? I believe we do as we turn away from God. We do allow him to protect us like he wants to. Be like fathers out there, you know, your children. You love them. You give them direction. You give them rules to follow. But when they get a certain age, they don't want to listen to you. Nothing you can do. You're still there for them. But when they walk away from you, or they want to do their own ways, I mean, the repercussions are coming. And I believe it's the same way with God. Same way with us. But marrying and all that, man. Then Jesus said, there will be two men in the field. And he's talking to the church, okay? Today, in the modern day church. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. And what he's talking about there, that is a sign of the taking away of the church or the rapture of the church. Okay, guys? This takes place before Jesus comes back and steps upon the earth again. You know, it's my belief, in my study, that 7 years before Christ on the earth, the rapture of the church will take place. All these signs that he gave to us of his return, that's him coming back, stepping upon the earth. But 7 years prior to that, I believe that the church is taken out. Just like Noah. And the reason I say, if you study Noah, Noah's place in the ark 7 days before the floods came. Okay, he sealed them, and then the floods came. Okay, I mean, and God is a God of numbers, if I can say that. He has, what is it, huh? Yeah, parallels. Okay, as you study one, you study the other. Okay, so I believe the same here, that 7 years prior to the Battle of Armageddon, you remember the Battle of Armageddon, reading Revelation, where the blood will be as high as the bridle on a horse. Okay, 7 years, the church is taken out before this takes place. Now, don't get me deceived. There are hard times now. They're going to get a lot harder, I believe, before the church is taken out. Okay, guys? Otherwise, he would not be warning us, hey, many will be deceived. Okay? Many will be deceived. But the time is coming very soon when I believe the body of Christ will be removed from the earth. There'll be millions of us missing. It's called the rapture of the church. Now, when I say that to some people, I probably get the same look that Noah got. Man, you are nuts. That's crazy starkey. Okay? But the scriptures show it. I believe in Revelation 4:1, when John the Revelator is being, Christ is showing him with things to come, the angel of the Lord showing him. And 4:1, when the angel says, come up here, I believe that shows the taking away of the church up in heaven. And he's showing John what's going to take place upon the earth while the saints are in heaven. That is our belief, and many people support that. Some people say, well, they believe that the rapture of the church will take halfway through the tribulation period. Okay? Other people say that, no, you're not going to be taken out here to the end of it. I'm just showing you what the scriptures show and how we believe. But the thing of it is, Christ is coming back. Amen? It's like dinosaurs. When were the age of the dinosaurs? Really don't matter. Okay? They're dead now. Okay? It's history. Someday, these things here will be history also, because we'll be in heaven forever and ever and ever. Soon and very soon. The thing of it is be ready at any moment for the coming of the Lord. And when these things get tough in life, when we find it difficult, man, just know he told us in advance. Just draw closer to him. All we need is Jesus. You know that we just need Christ in our life more and more. And I'll tell you, we'll get through anything. You know, he's already told us in advance that times get really tough. You know, for 2 years, we've been sharing with you, hey, that couple extra bucks you got, get a can of beans down in the basement. You know, because, you know, let's take the marathon. The bombing, okay? Let's take a tragedy today where 77 and 70 is our main routes here in Coshocton, and somebody's come. Let's say they're taking over, a blow it apart, earthquake cracks them, okay? And somebody's can't make it in. Walmart will be out of food in just a day or two. What are you going to do? How are you going to feed yourself? Okay? And the Lord already showed us, be prepared, not to be scared, but we know these things are going to take place. Amen? Amen? I mean, yes, to just get ready. You know, we're able, I better not say how much food we have at home because this is going out on internet there. But, you know, we have over the last couple of years listened to what the Lord has said, and we have put, you know, a couple cans of beans away, you know. We're ready. And I urge you to, I know we have a food ministry at the church, amen? Amen. We reach a lot of lives, and we touch a lot of hearts and stuff. Don't count on the church to feed you. Please, understand that. Okay? Don't think that this church here will have enough food to feed thousands of people for months at a time. Please, hear the word of God. Get ready yourself. Prepare your own household. Okay? Please prepare yourself. Because the last thing God wants us to do when the times are really tough is for us to be out amongst everybody else trying to scavenge your food. He wants us to have food for we can be out there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's no different than Joseph when he had talked to the Pharaoh and said, hey, listen, we got 7 years of plenty. We need to store up the food because there's 7 years of drought coming. Amen? So he stored up. Maybe you're all familiar with the scripture, or not, someday I can share it with you. But 7 years of plenty, and you are in the time of plenty, whether you understand it or not. Okay? You are in the time of plenty right now. If you have any food available in your house right now, or if you have any finances that you blow that you can buy food with, you're in the time of plenty right now. So just be prepared for the time of leanness when it's going to come. Amen? Hey, don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat. He's already told us in advance these things will take place. Just be prepared for them, and we'll go through them all right. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know the day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed the house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready. Jesus is telling this church, you must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Okay? Now, he's got it narrowed down to the hour. He's talking to the church. But he gave us a season. Amen? We know that we're in that season. We're just not sure what day the harvest is going to take place. Okay? But we are in that season now. The hours have to be determined. And that's only by God. And you know, I think what happens there, a point will come where the church can no longer take any more. We'll be the point saying, Lord, come. Come and get us. You know, we're getting weary, but we're not there yet. And every day that we are able to continue in the ministry, that's one more soul that's coming in. One more soul we'll reach for our Lord. Who then is a faithful and sensible slave from whom his master put in charge of his household to give their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave who his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place for the hypocrites, in that place where there is weeping and gashing of teeth. So he says, man, don't fall away, okay? You've willfully surrender your life to Jesus, become a follower of his disciples. And he's telling you now he's coming back, but don't get weary. Don't turn away from him. How sad it would be to walk with the Lord this many years and these last few days or weeks or months to turn away and go back where you come from. Now, I truly believe that salvation is a free gift. We receive it. And like any gift, you can receive it, but also you can give it back. Okay? And just continue with the Lord. Don't be deceived. Don't go back where you came from. Matthew 25, and we'll finish up here. Matthew 25. I believe that's where I want to go. Verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. And as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So he's be separating the believers and the unbelievers. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which had been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And what the Lord has shown that everything he's given us is his, and we are to use it for him. There's not one of us in this fellowship here that's more important than the other one. Amen? And as we reach out to one another, as we help one another, we're doing it for the Lord. As you give, when you see someone in need and you meet that need, you're giving as unto the Lord, and Jesus sees that. Okay, as he gives to us, he blesses us that we may bless others with. And I know, again, your knees get tired in this church because you guys do a lot of work. Your elbows get tired. You get weary at times, okay? But what we do it for the Lord. We don't do it for ourselves. We don't do it for our own recognition. We do it to show people the love of Jesus Christ and share the gospel. So be encouraged. You know, one more, what do you call that stuff? Bengay on the elbow or the knee or something. One more day, maybe, and we'll get a new body. And then John 14, because I just lied to you, it's not the last scripture, but John 14. I'll leave you with this. And Jesus is speaking to you this morning. He knew you'd be here this morning. He knew you'd be here in life at this time. And I share this a lot at funerals. But John 14 said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you." Each one of us right here. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He says, "And you know the way where I'm going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So what he's saying, I went and prepared a place for every one of us. The whole world he's got to prepare a place for. A lot of people will not enter that preparation because they won't enter it through him. But he says his word is there to us today that he will come back and receive us unto himself. And that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And some people question, "Well, I don't know, am I really going to go to heaven?" Yes. As a believer in Jesus Christ, that is where we're going to go. He will come back for you. What he wants me to share with you today, again, just be encouraged. These things will happen, and the things that we've seen so far is nothing compared to what you're going to see in the very, very close future. I mean, I'm talking about real close. This is going to be a devastation coming upon the United States like you've never seen before. But he already said it's going to happen. Just don't break from fellowship. If a day would come and we can't make it back into here, and you get the Word of God at home there with you, read it. You have, if only a few of you can get together from different areas, different blocks in the city, or whatever, make sure you get together and gather, and that He's with you. We're two of us gather, man. He's there with us, and just keep looking up, for the Lord is coming back for us. Amen, amen. Praise God. Any questions this morning? Anything I shared with you that you're not quite sure? Because we're here to worship the Lord and to learn to encourage one another. And if I mentioned something this morning you're not quite sure of, maybe someone else got the same question, so don't be afraid to ask a question. Or you see me after the service or this week and talk to me. But he's coming back, guys. He's coming back. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that you give us these instructions many years ago, that we don't have to be disheartened this morning, that we don't have to be worried or scared or fearful, that you already said that these things are there, and you already told us before that you will never forsake us, you'll never leave us. You already showed us that greater he that's in us and he that's in the world. We've got the victory already. We read Revelation. You do come back. Satan is bound and cast away for eternity, forever and ever. And we will someday, Father, stretch out with you in a place called heaven, and with those who came before us, Father. I just pray today that each one here, Father, you just touch them today, to strengthen them, that the Holy Spirit will come over them more and more. Father, that your peace and your joy will continue in our heart, but at the same time, may we see the necessity or the short time of your return, and just help us, Father, to share that to our loved ones and those you put in our path, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, may your blessing be upon each one here. And may God just turn his face toward you this morning. May he bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May his face do turn toward you and grant you peace. And may that peace transform into your household. And may his hand stretch upon you and your spouse, your loved one, your children, and your children's children's children. That they may all walk in the full knowledge and acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And may his healing be upon your body. And may he receive the glory in all things that we do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.